Let's all bow our heads, open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Father God, to come before the brothers and sisters, Father Lord, to just edify the body of Christ and just uplift your name, Father Lord, and just give a testimony, Father God, of what you have brought me through, Father God, and hopefully the words can impact someone else, Father God, and open them cages, Father God, and let them out that prison that they may be in, Father God. Father Lord, I just ask you, Father God, to move on our hearts right now, Lord, and soften them and allow us to be receptive to your word, Father God. Move me, Father God, and just allow your spirit to flow through. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. My name is Alejandro Luna. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I grew up on the south side. So my family is known for drugs and alcohol. So that's kind of like what I was brought up in. My father died around the age of 8. My mother was left with to raise 4 boys on her own. So she was the mother and the father. And so let me see where I'm going to go. I'm going to be a little short-winded, so I'm not just going to keep going and going and going and break it all the way down. But I do want to make some valid points to help out for a person can understand where I come from and what the Lord has delivered me from as well. So my brothers was involved with gangs. So they had my brothers was involved in gangs. And when they was involved in them gangs, they kind of opened up the doors for myself. So it was easy for me to jump out there and become someone because they already had the path laid. So when that path was laid, I just went out there and walked it. And when I walked that path, it was really because, now that I look back in retrospect, it's because I had low self-esteem and insecurities that I was battling with, that I was fighting, and I didn't know how to face it. So one way that I was able to overcome those things is by just jumping in the streets and painting a picture and a portrait and having everybody look at me a certain type of way. You know, so the money, the drugs, and all those things was for to paint a picture for people can see me a certain type of way. So basically I was being fake to myself and everyone else around me. And, you know, at that time, I was 16 years old. I started drinking, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd. Sort of became, start getting in gangs, like I said, and start thinking that I was becoming a man of influence, you know, used the wrong way. And that led to me drug dealing. You know, it's sad to say, man, but at the end of the day, I used that influence and everything that the Lord gave me for the wrong reason. I was standing for the wrong things. And all that turned around in 2011 when I got indicted with my brothers. I got incarcerated and sentenced to 152 months. That's 9 years that I served. And when I got indicted, it was a scary feeling. I went into prison acting. I can remember the day I walked in. It was a guy named Justin Charitas in there. And when I walked into that county jail, he said, "Hey, what's up, man?" And I faked it like, "Oh, man, I'm home." But at that moment, I knew I was suppressing my feelings. I was pushing everything down, and I started being a fake guy at that time. But I was representing a gang at that moment, so it made me just go into a point where I start portraying that same image that I had on the streets inside the county jail. So I'm still gambling, I'm still selling tobacco, I'm still partaking in criminal activities behind the cells. So when I started getting involved with the Lord, going to Bible study, attending church and stuff along that nature, the Lord started revealing things to me. He started teaching me how to accept and be accountable for my actions. I have my 2 daughters here tonight, and they had a very powerful impact on me when I went to prison. I didn't understand what I was really doing and how it bothered others. But then during my time in my incarceration, I was able to sit back and think how my kids was growing up without a father, how my mother got sentenced to 152 months too. And all these things the Lord started bringing to my heart. At first, when I was in the streets and doing the things that I was doing, I never accepted my responsibilities or cared. But when I got in that cell and the Lord started touching my heart, I started receiving his message and with the words that he was speaking to me. And he told me, "That ain't the way you want to go." And I started realizing it really isn't. And I took that pain and everything that I was feeling, and I came to the Lord and said, "Lord, I surrender. I give it to you. I don't want this." And when I look at my daughters, I think about that stuff all the time, because they still struggling with battles because of their father's decisions. They still grow up a certain type of way, thinking this, that, or whatever else, because their dad left them. Their mom's an alcoholic, fathers make poor decisions and that impact others. And the same thing that I'm going through now, that I stand here today and I talk about God and give glory and honor to God, because it can change everyone. Anybody can be changed by the glory of God. And only through Christ Jesus we can be saved. So I just stand here and I talk about God because what he has done for me. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about God. But what I can share is what he's done with me. So when I'm here giving my testimony, I share, you know, how the impact of my brothers, the impact of my kids had on me. So when I come home, well, just to keep it in while I was still locked up and how I was receiving the Lord, it was like it came to a point where I had to walk away from who I was as far as the streets. I walked away and I told them people, I no longer want this. Don't respect me for who I was. Get to know me for who I am today. And it was hard at times. People turn their backs. People look at me a certain type of way. Said, oh, you soft, you fake, this, that, and everything else. You know, at first, you're still in your flesh a little bit. You want to defend yourself. I ain't running from nothing. Look, you check my paperwork, this, that, and everything else. But at the end of the day, God teaches you. You don't have to defend yourself. He's going to do it for you. And still to this day, I don't, somebody say a comment, whatever. Each his own, my brother. You can think of me however you want to. That's your opinion. Hey, I know who I am. In Christ Jesus, I'm made perfect. Only by the blood of Jesus, I'm going to be made perfect. You know, and I accept that. So, you know, I know what the Lord has brought me through and what he's delivering me from. So when I come today, I just, you know, Jose had asked me, he said, hey, you want to give your testimony of what God has done? Hey, man, it's an honor to stand in front of you guys and just testify the goodness of God and what he's doing. I didn't know what I was going to say or what I'm going to talk about, but I'm allowed the Lord to lead, because I know each and every one of us is going through struggles. Each and every one of us just talked about things and challenges that we are facing. And the only way that we're going to be able to overcome them is by trusting God and giving it all to the Lord. So, you know, I just sit here and tell you guys the same thing. I did 9 years in prison. How did I do it? By the blood, by Jesus, fellowshipping with brothers in Christ. Same thing. Me and Jose, that's my brother. We go way back. Man, we fellowshipped on the phone. We talking to each other all the time, uplifting and encouraging one another. Now we home and we doing the same thing together. What the devil meant for evil, God turned it to good. I took a sentence and turned it into a lifestyle. Now I'm out here doing the same thing. You know, so I took fitness. We do the fitness. We work out together to encourage one another. You know, just like the body of Christ, we all need each other. Same thing when we in that fitness room. We all need one another for motivation, for encouragement, uplifting each other. And, you know, that's just how, you know, the Lord's been working with me, you know. And so, you know, I just like to talk about a lot of things. And I don't really know which way I wanted to go. But what I do want to share, you know, is that sometimes we go through some things and we don't want to face those challenges. So we suppress them and we push them away instead of accepting them. For us to continue to grow as men and women in Christ, we got to embrace and accept the things that we are facing, the mistakes that we have made. We got to take those challenges on and say, you know what? I did do that. I'm going to take myself and hold myself accountable. That's the only way that I'm going to grow from it. When I was a child, I thought as a child, but now that I'm a man, I put them childish things away. And I say that I made mistakes and I didn't want to deal with them mistakes. I push them or whatever away. But now when I make a mistake, hey, you know what? I did do that. And if I offend one of you guys, I apologize, my brother. Forgive me. You know, and I face those things each and every day. I would never claim to be perfect, but I know who is, and that's Christ Jesus, and I testify that every day. And I sit here and stand before you guys and just encourage you guys to continue to seek the Lord, continue to trust him in the process. It ain't going to be easy, but it's well worth it. You know, it's a lot of things, like I said at the beginning, the struggles, the insecurities and things that I was facing. You know, I was 325 pounds at one point. I felt fat. I felt ugly. I felt insecure about all these other things. So what did I do? I tried to cover it with the money, with the drugs, the cars and everything. I paint a picture for people could see me a certain type of way. But in all actuality, I'm fake to myself. It don't matter. I wasn't happy, but I can stand here today and say, you know what? I don't have much as I did then, but I'm happier and I'm grateful for what I got. You know, so I'm very thankful for what the Lord has done with me and what he's doing through me. You know, just being able to share and just uplift everyone else. And, you know, I want to take the opportunity to apologize to my daughters, you know, for the things that I have put them through. You know, they're my good kids, and, you know, they really keep me motivated. And when I feel like doing something, I call them, hey, what y'all doing? I even send them a text. What y'all doing? You know, just to keep me on guard. So I'm very thankful you have four beautiful kids, four beautiful daughters and a son. And I'm grateful that, you know, during that time of my incarceration, God placed them with their grandparents, and their grandparents did an amazing job with them, you know, took care of them, washed over them and stuff along that nature. So I'm very grateful for that, you know. And you know, I don't want to just keep rambling on, but I just want to just thank you guys for hearing me out, and thank you guys for all.
I had a question for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I shared this before. In the county jail, when I accepted the Lord, I felt like I had the Spirit within me. But in 2013, I did a psych evaluation. I was in the county jail for about 2 years at that point. So I put in for a psych evaluation. The county jail didn't have visitation for kids, so I couldn't see my kids at that point. So I asked my lawyer to give me a psych evaluation, which would take me to MCC Chicago. So they took me there for two months, and during that 2 months, a challenge came. When I went there to MCC Chicago, I was faced at the door by a Hispanic guy, because I used to run with the Latin folks. So when I went in, he was standing at the door, and when he was standing at the door, he looked at me and said, "Hey, what color are you?" And I said, "I'm Mexican." And he was like, "Let me holler at you." And I got my bags and stuff, so I'm still just walking in. I got my bags and stuff, so I was like, "Hold on, let me talk to the counselor." So when I went to the counselor, I came back, and he asked me, "Do I bang?" And I said, "No, I don't bang." "Well, we from Fort Wayne. We don't really bang. We might be affiliated or whatnot, but we don't stand on quarters and bang." So that's how I answered this question. Later on, during that time, while I was staying there, I was reading my word and whatnot. He came by my room and he said, "I know you're affiliated with something," and kept on walking. So yeah, I'm affiliated. So, you know, I got to stand up and say where I'm at and where I'm from. So when he came back from the bathroom, I put my book down. I stood up and said, "Hey, what did you say?" He said, "I said you affiliated with something." And I said, "Yeah, I'm such and such from Fort Wayne, this, that, and everything else." So I went in and kind of broke it down, where I'm from, who I ran with and stuff along that nature. And he said, "Well, why didn't you say that at the beginning?" And I said, "That ain't what you asked me. You asked me, did I bang?" And he was like, "Well, you sounded like something a snitch would say." Because I told him I gave my life to Christ. I no longer want to be in that. And so when he said that, I said, "Hey, hold on. You can check my book. You can check my paperwork. I'm good. I ain't running from nothing." And he was like, "Okay." But long story short, I'm only there for a mist of time, you know, maybe, you know, like I said, 2 months. But during that time, I started getting kind of nervous. You know, you standing with a bunch of guys. Now, I don't know who's been affiliated or who's been to prison or whatnot, but the Spanish guys, they kind of tough on you. So when you go in there, they like, "Who you going to roll with? What you going to do? How you going to get down?" And I'm like, "Man, I'm not on that type of time. I'm cool. I don't want no problems." So in the body, in the flesh, I'm like, "You know what? I'm only here for a short matter of time. I'm just going to sit with them." But God got a different plan for me. And I ain't know it. I'm praying and everything else. I'm still nervous. But God the whole time got a different plan. So when he comes one day, they call basketball. So I go up to the basketball court. I go sit down. This is a federal facility at the time. So I go sit down on the rooftop. And it's a guy named Emmanuel that came and sat next to me. I didn't know who he was. He just sat next to me. So when he sat next to me, he started talking to me. I guess he's supposed to be a Christian. I couldn't tell by the fruits, but at the end of the day, that's what he said. That's what he claimed to be, a Christian. So he started talking this, that. I hear him out. At the end of the day, I go back down to my bunk. The same guy that embraced me at the beginning of the door asked me again. His name was Casper. He asked me, "Hey, you know who you was talking to?" "Not really." "Well, that's such and such. That's who runs the block in this." And I said, "Okay." So I know it, you know, it's something there. He coming to me for a reason. So I'm like, "So what's up?" He's like, "Well, he want to know what you going to do." I'm like, "Man, I you know, I'm kind of stuttering. I'm in the body. I'm still in the flesh a little bit. I'm kind of stuttering. I'm kind of nervous. But anyways, he ended up walking away. So I'm praying. I'm asking the Lord. A couple days later, he come and hit me on my bunk while I'm laying down. Boom, 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 boom. And he's like, "Hey, man, let me holler at you in the room." So now I'm like, "Okay, I'm just going to ride with him. I don't want no problems. I'm only here for a few more weeks." But when I go up to the bunk, God got a different plan for me. So when I sit down, he goes to sit down. I go to sit down. So I sit down and he asks me, "So what you going to do?" Really fleshly, I ain't want no problems, like I said. So I was going to say, "I'm going to ride." But God told me something different. you can't serve two masters. And that's what I said. And when he said, when I said that, he looked at me and he said, you know what you're saying? Well, people that's been in prison know what it is. Either gonna get down, you're gonna get checked off, whatever, however it go. And I said, yeah, I know what I'm saying. And he said, I understand. He said, I respect that. And right then, this is how the word turned over for me. And this is where I started getting the power. He went in and testified how he tried to be a Muslim and he couldn't do it. So he started giving his testimony how he fell short, but how his guys accepted him back. And he told me, he said, look, Luna, while you here, you ain't gonna have no problems. So right there, God turned them enemies and put them right there below. And at that point on, from there, I went from, that was in 2013. I've been to the medium, the low, and every other. And at each time, I was empowered with that same testimony because I knew what he's done there. So whenever I went to whatever place, I was able to say, you know what? I ain't on that type of time. I'm cool. And God gave me that strength for each and every time. So with that being said, that's a good question how you asked that, Jose, because I do encourage somebody to go back and get that, what God has answered in prayers, and stand on that, because that was a way that I was able to serve them 9 years in prison by going and taking that word of God, just like I worked in every other facility, knowing that it's going to be challenges. It's going to be something. But this time I can come boldly and say, hey, you know what? This is what God already done. He done delivered me from this. So now I can stand boldly and say before anyone and say, hey, look, I ain't on that type of time because I know the God I serve, you know. So at that time, he gave me that power. So in the county jail, I felt like I was filled with the power. But then when I went, that's when I was empowered with the Spirit. So any other place I've been to, I was able to say, you know what? I ain't on that type of time. Has it been easy? Has people tried to criticize, do whatever? Yeah, but they was doing that when I was in the streets too. So, I mean, what was it? You know what I mean? So who am I really doing it for? Am I doing it to glorify man or to uplift God? And that's how I stand here today, to uplift God, you know. So. Yes.
9 years. So there's a lot that I know that he hasn't shared, but if there's any questions that anybody might have, the table is open. Me and my brother are very open. We talk to many people from low to high. So any questions just ask and we'll give our best answer, him or me.
Lalo, yes, sir.
Did you have any wake up, what changed in you? Did you just wake up one morning? Did you have any wake up call that caused you to follow the Christ?
What happened is I got indicted in 2011, so that made a big impact at that point. But when I got incarcerated, I started going to the Word. It's all a process. I wasn't for like a wake up, just boom. You know what I mean? It was all a process. You know what I mean? The Lord started working on me here, working on me there, working on me here. I started going to Bible study, started attending different services and stuff like that, putting myself around like-minded people, you know, to encourage me to become a better man. You know, I feel personally, you know, like if you got bad company around you, you know, they're gonna pull you back. But if you put yourself around like-minded people that's seeking what you're seeking, you're gonna push forward. For example, when we're in the gym and I first met you, what you was benching, what you was deadlifting, and now where you at? Because we push each other, we're like-minded, we got a goal to accomplish, so we're pushing each other in that same area. So spiritually, when we come together, we're part of the body, we're pushing each other to grow. Them struggles or whatever that we may be facing, we tell each other, being open and honest and transparent about it, say, hey, you know what, this is what I'm fighting with. Just like my brother Julian just said, there's some things that he was challenging, but you know what, being open and honest about them things, I can overcome those things. And that's what I always encourage others. Yeah, yes.
So could you maybe elaborate just a little bit more? Because you said you went in there kind of with the street persona.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And then you came out. What happened?
In 2011, that's when I got indicted. I got indicted with two of my older brothers. When I got indicted in 2011, I went to prison. I mean, I went to the county jail and I stayed in there approximately about 4 years in the county jail. And whoever been in the county jail know it's some dark nights in there. You know what I mean? So the Lord was really working on me in that point. Yes, I was still behind bars doing the things that I was doing. We had access to a lot of stuff because there was 36 of us that got indicted at the same time. So people had tobacco on this area, you know, weed on this area, lighters over here. We was able to get each other stuff. So I was still hustling behind bars, still had that same mindset. But it came to one point, I remember it was a big point because I used to do gambling. I used to run like a gambling house, like poker. That's a big thing in the jail. You run in stores, that's a big thing. So I used to do those things as well. And when I started coming to God, and I share this with anybody, whenever you come to God, come as you are. And I came to God as I was. I was still filthy. I still was going through the things that I was going through, but I was reading His word. And once I started learning how to trust God, I no longer wanted to do these things no more. So during the process of me going through my trials and feeling a certain type of way, like I said, like my kids, when I left my kids, my mother, all that pain and hurt that I was going through, it's like the only one could bring healing was Jesus. At the end of the day, you know what I mean? That's the only one that brought that healing. So when I went to the Lord, that's kind of like at that time, I started going to the Lord in 2013, around those times. It was, and then any other place, it was like I was already not, how can I say it? It was like I learned to trust the Lord in the county jail. And then when I went to prison, I had more time to grow and get to know Him and build a relationship with Him. So the transition of my old ways to the new man happened in the county jail when He gave birth. Started giving me a perspective of this isn't what life is about. It's not about all the glorification of these streets and how people look at you. Be who you are. Become a man. So I had to take all other people's opinions down, my own brothers or whoever else, however they felt about the situation, and say, hey, you know what? This is what I stand for. This is what I'm on. And that's what I did. Yeah, yeah, they went to prison too. They both
did they go to the Lord?
Oh no, they probably believe in God. I mean, but they're not out witnessing.
I heard a lot about Susie Dominguez, and like I used to deal dope and whatever, been to prison and all that. And I have one thing that I have a lot of respect for you coming up and sharing your testimony. And I know I want to share mine too, you know, but it's just going to take me a little time, you know, because I mean, it's going to take the whole serve, I mean, the whole time, you know, because I've been there, I've done that, and it's time to change your lifestyle, you know, because this ain't no lifestyle, you know, being out there dealing drugs or doing whatever we've done, you know, but I respect you for being able to come up and share your testimony.
Appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, I really admire what you had to say. You've been there where you were. And it's about the mindset.
Amen.
You had enough presence of mind to believe in God way in the back, even when you couldn't see him. Mm-hmm. See, because none of us wants to be ostracized among our peers. Even in prison, even when I got saved, I had something inside of me that wanted to be accepted. And I had to tell myself, why do I have a need to be accepted among a den of thieves when I'm no longer a thief? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But and then they would say, and I would encourage somebody tonight. They will tell you it's easy to be saved in prison, not if you're really saved.
Mm-mm.
It's not because you're really by yourself. And I went through exactly what you went through. You know, at one point, I was the first season of Black Gangster Disciples in prison. Mm-hmm. When I gave my life to God, they called me a snitch. They said I was soft. And just like you, three guys come to my cell one morning. I was reading my Bible, and it's just real quick. And I was sitting there reading the Bible, and three guys walked in, and dude looked at me and said, "Old school, we think you're getting soft. We think you're telling." They said, "You got 1 hour to check off this block." You know, I'm sitting there reading my Bible, you know. And I looked up at him. I set the Bible down, you know, because I'm trusting the Lord, you know. I'm not gonna let him jump me on the bed, so I set the Bible down, I put my glass down, and I stood up. And when I stood up, see, God was, he was fighting for me even then.
Praise
because them two young boys, the two boys behind him, had heard about my reputation. They took off out the door. Now, I didn't know they were gonna run out the door. I didn't stand up for that, but I stood up. And they ran out the door. I walked to another dude, he looked back, he put his fist up, he looked back, see nobody was there, and he said, "Lie, lie, lie." You know, God will fight, he will fight your battle, just like he said.
Yeah.
And see, the enemy is trying to tell somebody, even tonight, even in the last week or next week coming, that you're not who you say you are. He's trying to tell you, man, that you have to go back to this, you have to be afraid, you have to be intimidated, but no, you stand on the Lord and what God has told you. You stand on who God has named you. God changed my name. I wasn't the first season of Black Gangster Disciples. I was a child of God. And I refuse to live any other way.
And to piggyback on that, it's like at a time when I was challenged, I think a lot of times when you're going through your incarceration or you're going through whatever you're going through, that you can be challenged in many ways. And like when I first went to prison, I was challenged at times where God helped me with my character. Help me to get patience, help me to understand what's really going on and how to respond. So at one point, I can remember when I went into a cell and the Spanish guys come behind me, like, "Who you riding with?" And I'm like, "Man, look, I ain't on that type of time." But at the end of the day, they make you take off your shirt, they make you check you and all this, that, and that. And you got to be humble, because if you don't answer it correctly, it can go sour. You know what I mean? So the Lord teaches you how to respond. He teaches you how to submit that flesh. And just be still in the spirit and allow him to move, you know. So it was different instances that I was been in while I was incarcerated that helped me, because before I went, I was prideful. And that's why I tell people now, they say, "Well, if you had a beer, you can drink." I say, "Well, maybe I could have a beer. But at the end of the day, what spirit is going to be led out? Because I'm a prideful, arrogant type of guy. So each and every day when I pray, I know what I'm surrendering to. When I say, 'Lord, look, this is who I don't want to be, Lord. Here, take this from me. I stand in the blood. I stand with Jesus Christ. I no longer want to be led by the flesh. I want to be led by the spirit.'" So each day that we come to the Lord, we surrendering something. So do we know what we surrendering? You know what I mean? The Lord was teaching me that when I was in prison, like, what are you giving up? Because we all giving up something. If you coming from the streets, you giving up something. It could be social status, whatever you want. You go back and look what you giving up for the Lord. But then at the end of the day, what Paul says, I count all that worthless. That doesn't mean nothing no more. So now I can stand boldly and say, "Hey, man, I am who I am. Hate it, love it, whatever. Each his own."
All right, I'm going to lead us out in this. So I'll ask one more question for him. Maybe help somebody out in here. How has your transition been when you came out from incarceration up until now? How has God been working or whatnot?
the transition of coming home. At the beginning, it's crazy because at the beginning of my I was incarcerated 9 years, so I was still kind of messed up in the head a little bit when I first come home. I'm still laying down at a certain time, going in my room and just being by myself, being quiet. But, you know, at the end of the day, the way that I transitioned back in has been real good because God has placed good people around me and he's continued to provide and show up and show out for me. So he has given me the strength, you know, me even to come out here and say, hey, look, I ain't on that type of time. My brother, you know, there's certain people that still, you know, talk to me or try to, but at the end of the day, ain't nothing. You know what I mean? I ain't on that type of time or whatever. So, you know, for me, transitioning back home is being pretty, I can say, I have my challenges and still to this day, you know, some days may be better than others, but, you know, far as just coming home and being who I am, that hasn't been hard. You know what I mean? Because the things that I've been through and the way that I encountered through my incarceration. So, I mean, far as, you know, coming home and being a man of God, I don't think that's been hard at all. You know what I mean? I just think adapting back into my kids' life and being reunited with my family and stuff like that, that's been more of the challenge. But to be who I am hasn't really been a challenge at all because this is who I am. It's not like I'm pretending or faking anything. You know, it's just like when you're a man of God, you no longer speak about this or you no longer act like this. You just who you are. So that part has been real easy. But getting back with my kids and, you know, even my kids still to this day, like they two over there, they still buck when I tell them to clean up and stuff. They, Dad, who you think you is? You've been gone this long. I'd be like, man, if you don't get up out of here. but, you know, it just, but far as that part, that's been more difficult. But, you know, far as, you know, transitioning and just being who I am and, you know, sharing the testimony of God and just being around like-minded people has been well.
What would you recommend from your experience, someone that's transitioning? What kind of advice would you give somebody that's just coming home?
I would say put yourself around good people. You know, seek the Lord, man, and trust. You know, put yourself around good people that want to see you do well. I remember one day I stood up. I used to do RDAP. So I used to give up in the morning. Every morning I used to do an RDAP program. It was like I used to be over like 120 people before I came home. So one morning I stood up and I told them, I said, I'd rather spend time with people that is dead that's leading me to life than spend time with people that's alive that's leading me to death. So what I'm getting to is this. If you don't find no one close to you that's pushing you to become that man God is creating you to be, that Bible, Mark, Luke, Jacob, John, Paul, they got very good interest in you. Seek them. They will help you. You know what I mean? So it's you know, nowadays we got the phones. You look up anybody, you know, quotes or whatever and stuff like that. But I just, you know, continue to feed your mind with positive. Continue to feed your mind with something that's going to be fruitful, you know, to help you through your challenges. You know, so put yourself around like-minded people. Bad company corrupt good character. So.
Father, we thank you, and we do, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you brought the man of God around, Lord, to share his hopes, strengths, and experience, Father, with us tonight, Father. We ask that, Lord, someone, that your spirit has moved someone on tonight, Father. We ask, Lord, that your spirit has adjoined to someone tonight, Father. God, that you entered someone tonight, Father, that they'd be saved, healed, and delivered, Father. Lord, we ask that you let our homes be at peace when we get there tonight, Father, God. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bring us back at that point in time, Father, God. And, Lord, as we leave this place, but never your presence, we be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For in Jesus' name we pray. The church said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.